The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sure. Florence Knapp's debut novel explores the different possibilities a name could bestow on someone. The novel explores how a name will set off a different future for a family and also the effects of domestic abuse and community ties. It's called The Names. It went straight into the Irish, UK and US bestseller lists, and Florence joins me now. Florence, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. It's so lovely to be here with you.
Now, the book is not set in Ireland, but it has so many Irish connections. Why so?
Well, I think so. My book follows three different versions of a boy's life, depending on the name he's given. And from very early on, I knew that I wanted to relocate one of those narratives to somewhere that wasn't England, just to make it easier for the reader to follow. And there was never really any question in my mind where that would be. And I think it's because the Irish landscape lives so vividly in my mind, just because I read so much Irish fiction, that it felt like the obvious place to me.
Now, it's an intriguing idea that what you are named might impact on your life. It's kind of a sliding doors thesis. And we start off with Cora, who's the mother of this child who has to be christened.
That yes, that's right. She's on her way to the registrar's office, and she is her husband Gordon is intending for her to name the child after him,
as he was named after his father.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's an inherited name, and but he's a really awful man. He's abusive, and as she's getting nearer to the registrar's office, she's questioning whether it can be right to kind of give this name to, you know, this perfect newborn. And the story then splits off into three, depending on the name that she does give him. In one version of their life, he's Bear.
Now, he's Bear. Now, this name was actually inspired by his sister.
That's right. His elder sister suggests it because she thinks that a boy with that name would be kind of really soft and cuddly, but now, also brave and strong.
This is all happening in the early chapter of the book, so we're not giving too much away. So his sister wants this new baby to be called Bear. The mother, Cora, she had another name in her mind, and her husband, of course, wants the baby to be called after him, Gordon. What did Cora want to call the baby? Although she wasn't kind of dead set on it by any means.
No, she wanted to call him Julian, and I think that her reason for that was because the traditional meaning behind that name is Sky Father, and she felt that she would be able to say to her husband, it was a tribute to you, while also kind of secretly thinking that he might rise above all these awful Earth Fathers.
So then you postulate that suppose the child had been called Bear, what kind of life would unfold? And the way the book is structured, we go through the life of all of the people in different segments right up to the present day.
Yeah, we revisit them, each character in turn, every 7 years. And I think that structure allowed me to just really focus in on the moments that had been really defining for them as people and who they were.
And the idea that Gordon, because of, for example, you know, Gordon's gin, when the young teenage Gordon spots a bottle of Gordon's gin, he swigs it simply because it gives him a sense of power. This is my stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. He feels that kind of sense of familiarity with it. And so even though he doesn't like the taste of it at first, he kind of, you know, braves his way through that and carries on drinking. And that actually ends up having quite a profound impact on his life.
Now, do you actually believe that how a child is named can impact on that child's life?
I think that it probably affects us all to greater and lesser degrees. And one of the things that interests me is that I think that we will never know quite how much it's affected us, because I think so many of those things happen without us even knowing. You know, if our name's in a pile of CVs, you know, perhaps it affects whether we get called in for an interview or something like that. And certainly with, say, just to contrast Bear and Gordon, there's a scene in the book where Maya says that when someone leans over a shop counter and says, what's your name? Their response to hearing Bear's name is kind of one of complete delight. Whereas if you contrast that with what Gordon's likely to get as a response, it's likely to be far flatter. And if you combine that with the fact that he's been named after this awful father, his outlook in the world is likely to be very different from Bear's.
So we may regard ourselves by how even that our name is greeted by other people. That will impact upon us. I mean, if you're given a really, really unusual name, you may be like that Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue.
I don't know that. I'll have to go and listen to that, actually. I don't know the song.
You should do, because the father gives the child a name, Sue, and the kid hates it all his life, and he gets into fights and all of that because he's being jeered at because he's a boy and he's called Sue. And the father comes back at the end of the song and says, I did that, son, to toughen you up.
Oh,
I knew it would cause you a hassle,
isn't it?
But it built resilience in you.
That's absolutely chilling.
Now, I mean, your name is Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy with that?
I'm very happy with it as an adult. I think I would have preferred something slightly different when I was younger, because I think that, so I moved to Australia for part of my childhood. And I think that when you're standing in front of a class being introduced, you just want a name where it feels like you will just fit in and kind of fly under the radar. Mm. And so having this name that at that point, it was a very, very uncommon name in the 1980s, felt automatically like it sets you apart slightly.
I mean, some names go in and out of fashion. I mean, I'm not sure how many Florences there are nowadays. I suspect a lot of young ones, they think of Florence and the Machine, very trendy and so on.
Yeah.
Whereas in a previous time, Florence would have meant Florence Nightingale.
Exactly, yes. I think it was when I was growing up, it had been last popular in, I think it was something like 1908. And so that felt quite a heavy name to carry. But having said that, when I became a teenager, when you're kind of maybe looking to be a bit more individual, it suddenly felt like a really welcome thing that I had a slightly more unusual name.
Did they call you Flo?
No, to me, I don't mind name shortening kind of when it's through someone else's, you know, when it's through choice. But to me, it always feels a little bit like someone's kind of leant across and kind of taken off my scarf or something like that, where you're kind of thinking, I wanted that, give it back. So it doesn't even feel like my name to me. It feels like they might as well have called me Brian.
The challenge you set yourself of writing, if you like, three different family histories, you probably needed a spreadsheet to keep track of them all.
It was odd, actually. The thing that I needed was to have all the dates of the 7-year intervals that we visited them at, and then what age each character would be at that interval. And that was the thing that I really struggled to keep. And also, Matt isn't my strong point. So at one point, I realised I was out by a year in one of my years. So I had to go back and do a bit of rewriting around that.
It's interesting that, and you give us the characters' names at the end of the book with their official meanings, like mm-hmm. Cora, who's the Irish-born mother of the piece. You name her Cora because she is the core of the story. Bear, the child in his first incarnation, if you like, soft, cuddly, brave, strong. The second incarnation, Julian, Skyfather, but also to do with jewellery and what he might become. There are other characters like Shilva, who is Sylvia, who is the Irish grandmother, Lily, purity, innocence, and so on, Pearl, Precious. All of these characters come in and out of your various narratives. So every name is important in your stories.
Yeah, it feels important to me, but I did have somewhere I had odd things happen, like I'd put a name. So there's a side character called Mary and her husband is called Roland and he's a musician who travels the world. And I just, while I was writing one day, I'd put a placeholder name in for him of Roland. And when I came to look it up at the end of the day, his name actually means famous throughout the land, which to me was just like, oh my goodness, kind of, you know, it felt like such a gift. But, and then I wondered whether it was also a subconscious association with the brand of music equipment is Roland. And and so there's all these things that happened even for me while I was writing it, where I was realizing what an impact names had on me, maybe even subliminally.
Now, it's a wonderful book, and you confess to being ambushed by its fairly instant success.
it was a real surprise. And I think it was, it's felt very surreal. And I think that the early reaction it had from the publishing industry was just incredible. But I think that I was also felt like, well, actually, it's ultimately the readers who get to decide what they think of it. And so I felt like I'd very much put my hopes for it kind of in a kind of quiet place over there somewhere to wait to see what readers thought of it. And I've been blown away by at least their early reaction to it.
Well, the Sunday Times described it as the best debut novel in years, which is saying something. It's called The Names. Its author is Florence Knapp. And Florence, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.